Radio Prague News. The lower house has approved the government's tax reform. Finance Minister Miloslav Kalousek has denied having threatened the police president in connection with the investigation of the dubious purchase of Caza planes for the Czech army. And the opposition Social Democrats say they will table a vote of no confidence in the centre-right government next week. The lower house on Friday approved the government's tax reform. The bill, which was passed in its third reading, envisages a 1% hike in value-added tax to 15% and 21% respectively, fewer tax reliefs for entrepreneurs, and the introduction of a 7% solidarity tax for people with monthly salaries over 100,000 crowns for a period of 3 years. The tax reform is part of an austerity package aimed at bringing the deficit in public finances under 3% of GDP. The proposed tax hikes, which will now be debated in the Senate, came under fire from some deputies within the Prime Minister's Civic Democratic Party, who say it will undercut growth. Finance Minister Miloslav Kalousek went before Parliament's Security Committee on Friday to defend himself against allegations that he had lobbied or even threatened the police president in connection with the investigation of the dubious purchase of Caza planes for the Czech army. Addressing the committee, Mr. Kalousek admitted that he had made 3 phone calls to the police president on July 4th, but claimed that all had been related to the purchase of a new fleet of cars for the police force. He firmly denied having put pressure on the police president in connection with the Caza investigation, which concerns a close party colleague of his, Vlasta Parkanova. Meanwhile, the police president, Petr Lessy, who told the same committee on Thursday that the finance minister called him personally 3 times in 1 day to complain about the police investigation in the purchase of Caza planes for the army, is standing by his story and says he is ready to take a lie detector test to prove it. He claims that Mr. Kalousek first threatened him and the whole team working on the case and later called again to tone down his remarks and apologize. Interior Minister Jan Kubice has asked the Supreme State Attorney Pavel Zeman to look into claims that political pressure was exerted on the police in connection with the investigation. Mr. Kubice said he wanted the matter investigated despite receiving assurances from Police President Petr Lessy that the investigation was proceeding as it should. Mr. Lessy told Czech television that the calls from the finance minister had not in any way affected the work of the police on the case. Meanwhile, the opposition Social Democrats say they will table a vote of no confidence in the centre-right government next week. Following a meeting of the Deputies Club on Friday, party leader Bohuslav Sobotka said the present situation was intolerable and that the opposition would make the move despite the fact that to all accounts it does not have the votes needed to bring down the government. Observers note that the opposition may be hoping to get unexpected support from those civic democrats who strongly oppose the government's tax reform. And finally, the lower house on Friday approved an amendment to the law on the distribution of state revenue to municipalities. If it is approved by the Senate and signed into law by the President, the revised legislation will benefit mid-sized and smaller municipalities, which stand to gain roughly 12 billion crowns by the amendment. In the past, smaller municipalities got approximately 6,800 crowns per citizen. The amendment would give them 9,000. On the other hand, big cities, Prague, Brno, Plzeň and Ostrava, will lose money. And finally, a quick look at the weather. The weekend is expected to be cold and rainy with day temperatures under 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Thomas McEncroe, and coming up in today's programme, did the finance minister intend to intimidate the police president? Also, stay tuned for the latest business news, and in today's arts, we will be talking to members of the cast of the Prague production Sweeney Todd, so stay with us. Police President Petr Lessi dropped a political bombshell on Thursday, revealing that over a week ago he was repeatedly called by the finance minister over an ongoing police investigation into the Casa military plane purchase. Speaking before the Security Committee on Thursday, Mr. Lessi made clear he considered the calls at best highly inappropriate, if not a direct attempt at intimidation. The minister himself has denied any wrongdoing, while the opposition has already called for his head. Jan Wellinger has the details.
A political storm has once again swept up the Czech political scene, again over the controversial Casa plane purchase, with Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek at the center. Mr. Kalousek, who has criticized the police investigation in the case and who has defended the former defense minister who oversaw the deal, Vlasta Parkanova, with unexpected verve, called the police president Petr Lessi on July the 4th. Reportedly, Mr. Kalousek criticized steps taken by police and also made questionable remarks that prompted the police president to cut the conversation off. Mr. Kalousek then called back twice, apparently to soften his previous statements, stressing they had not been meant personally. Whether the finance minister intended to intimidate the police president will now be investigated. But simply the fact that the minister called at all, say some observers, was highly inappropriate. Vladimira Dvořáková is a well-known political analyst.
It's very difficult to say what was the phone call about and whether it was intimidation or not. But there is no any reason why the Minister of Finance is to call to President of Police. There is no reason for that, and no common citizen can do that. So I think this is not acceptable at all, because we can understand it as an attempt to influence the investigation of the Casa purchase. And it's not the first case, and all the speeches of Mr. Kalousek and all his presentations in last days shows that he's extremely nervous about this purchase or investigation of this purchase. And I think that his behavior is really not acceptable in any democratic state.
Members of the opposition Social Democrats, meanwhile, have wasted no time calling for Kalousek's removal from office. Social Democrat Lubomír Zaorálek is a deputy head of the Chamber of Deputies.
There is only one answer, especially since the Prime Minister just recently warned Mr. Kalousek over a similar incident. The only answer is to recall him from his post.
The Prime Minister has made clear he is taking the situation very seriously, but that he will wait for the general inspection of the security forces to investigate before he takes a final decision. At the same time, on Thursday, he laid the burden of proof with the police president Lessi, questioning why the police head, after receiving the calls, had not contacted him or Interior Minister Jan Kubica immediately. That means, for the time being, the finance minister will likely be able to stand his ground. In the case of the phone calls to Lessi, he did say in a statement on Thursday that if there was a shred of evidence of wrongdoing, he would leave his post, and he added that the police president should do the same if he failed to provide proof. All this adds up to a curious week in the Czech political arena, where Mr. Kalousek, with surprising relentlessness, has defended former defense minister Vlasta Parkanova in the Casa case. She was stripped of parliamentary immunity, paving the way for prosecution over the military plane deal. At the heart of the controversy is the fact that during her term as minister, she failed to commission an expert assessment of the order, which critics charge cost the Czech Republic an estimated 500 million crowns, more than the planes were worth.
And it's time for today's business news. For that, I'm joined by Jan Richter.
Carmaker Škoda Auto sold a record 493,000 automobiles during the first half of 2012, representing a year-on-year increase in sales of 8.4%, according to data released this week. The Octavia proved to be the most successful model, selling almost a quarter of a million units. Sales were up globally as well, including in Eastern Europe. The only place where a fall was evident was in Western Europe, which saw an 0.7% decline. The company is planning to sell 1.5 million cars across the globe by the year 2018.
The Czech Ministry of Transport has announced that drivers affected by ongoing serious malfunctions in a new computerized vehicle registration system will be able to claim new damages incurred. According to the ministry, Damages caused as a result of switching to the new system will be passed on to the company ATS Telecom, which was hired to implement the 47 million crown upgrade. The ministry has also threatened not to pay ATS Telecom and switch back to the old system if repairs are not completed by the end of this Thursday. Different locations across the country are experiencing numerous issues with the new system, including missing or incomplete data related to automobile registration.
Damages caused by summer storms in the Czech Republic could soon reach half a billion crowns, with insurers registering thousands of claims for damages caused by flooding, lightning and hailstones during the months of June and July. According to the insurer Česká pojišťovna, the Central Bohemian and Eastern Bohemian regions are seeing the most claims lodged, with the south and west of the country also strongly affected. The greatest damages have been caused by the effects of strong winds and hailstones on roofing, as well as falling trees damaging electricity lines. According to meteorologists, severe weather occurrences are set to continue in the coming weeks.
The national debt rose by 136 billion crowns during the first half of 2012, according to new data from the Ministry of Finance. In total, the Czech Republic now owes around 1.6 trillion crowns, up almost a quarter of a trillion from the same time last year. The national debt rose by 136 billion crowns during the first half of 2012, according to new data from the Ministry of Finance. In total, the Czech Republic now owes around 1.6 trillion crowns, up almost a quarter of a trillion from the same time last year. According to the Finance Ministry, low borrowings enable Czech Republic to sell bonds at relatively low rates of interest and bolster its reserves should the Eurozone crisis escalate in the future. For example, in February of this year, the country sold around 2 billion euros of around 51 billion crowns worth of debt bonds and also sold around 110 billion crowns worth of long and medium-term bonds during the same period of the domestic market. Short-term government debt remained at 19.3% of GDP, according to the Finance Ministry, well below the IMF's debt red line of 25%. Overall, the ministry plans to borrow 243 billion crowns this year and around 12 billion less in 2013.
Inflation rose in June to 3.5% year-on-year from 3.2% the previous month, according to the latest figures by the Czech Statistical Office. Rises in the prices of food and tobacco products are viewed as chiefly responsible for the increase. Conversely, energy and housing price impact on inflation decreased in June. For example, the annual increase of natural gas prices fell from 25.1% to 16.1%. Clothing and electronics, meanwhile, witnessed a decrease in prices, as did non-food-related household goods.
A reminder that you are with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, where it is now time for our main feature of today, The Arts with Jan Wellinger.
In today's arts, my guests are American actor and producer Brian Kasp, who is also the artistic director of the Prague Playhouse, and Czech actress Veronika Belová, just two of many in the cast and crew involved in a new English language production of Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. The show, which lasts through July and has already gotten good reviews, sees two performances this Friday and Saturday. In our interview, I began by asking Brian Kasp why he chose to produce this particular musical.
Well, it's something that I've always loved. I've been in two other productions of it. When I was in high school, I was in a community theater production of it. And then when I was in college, we did it at the university. And it's the kind of show that gets into your skin. It gets, it doesn't let you go. I mean, it hooks in and it doesn't let you go. And I've always wanted to do it. And I've always wanted to do something of that caliber to really bump up our production here. We were doing a production of A Christmas Carol in November last year. And the musical director for that show and I were talking on the corner one night after the show. And we were just talking about what we'd like to do. And we said, well, this is a show that I would always like to do. And so we said, well, let's see if we can do it. And the beautiful thing about this that we didn't know was that because of the uniqueness and the challenge of the writing and the beauty of the music, we've had people come out to take part in the show as technical people, as actors, people from the Czech musical theater community. The response has been fantastic. And so people would think, looking from the outside, like that's impossible to do in English here, especially. I mean, it's been just one thing falling into place after another, and it's been absolutely fantastic working on it.
Is it true that this is the most demanding project, the biggest project that the Prague Playhouse has done so far?
Yeah, absolutely. The budget is four times what we normally deal with. The cast is three times bigger. A musical just by itself is something that's a huge undertaking. And so we challenged ourselves. But like I said, we've had people coming out to volunteer to help. The challenge is kind of proof successful. Yeah, we've accomplished it. We've done it.
The original musical was written by Stephen Sondheim. And I read somewhere that the last production of his in this country, in what was still Czechoslovakia, was something like 44 years ago?
Yeah, Verich did a translation of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. And from what I know about it, there's like some notes about it, there's some reviews, but there isn't really anything remaining of that. And the thing with Sondheim, it's kind of like Zimmermann, you know, it's almost untranslatable because it's so specific, and the way that the words fit on top of the music, and they're just, it's like fused into one being. So to translate it in a way that's going to keep the sense and have it be singable and have it be fitting, it's very difficult, which is why we wanted to do it. And we think that the Prague Playhouse especially is in a unique position to do something in English, leveraging the English talent that's here, but also spurring the Czech talent. I mean, they're insanely talented, but we worked very hard on the language with the Czechs that we had.
That gives me an opportunity to bring in Veronica. What is it like for you, Veronica, as a professional actress and someone who is professionally trained in singing, to work in the English language?
It's not my first time acting or singing in English, and I actually prefer it because somehow it gives me an opportunity to explore my second language at the same time as, you know, working on the character or on the singing. So I'm enjoying it.
In this production, you play the part of Joanna, who is the daughter of Sweeney Todd and, of course, the ward of the evil judge. How have you been enjoying that role?
Well, I'm sure many actors would tell you that playing a positive character is kind of more difficult than playing an evil character because you have to be maybe more careful, or I don't know what it is. Something different, I don't know.
We should say that Joanna is also the love interest of both the young sailor who brings Sweeney Todd home after 15 years, as well as of the judge himself who has stolen her basically from her mother. So you have to walk a very fine line in a way between those two characters, don't you?
Yes, and also as opposed to the film, in the original musical, there is more place for singing for this part of Joanna and also for acting. And it's been really interesting to discover layers and layers of the meaning, like what the characters have in common, like, or what their path is, like what maybe on more like a spiritual level, there is something that they were predestined to do, and yet, you know, maybe they faced the obstacles in the wrong way. And I'm sure Sondheim had in mind something like showing the audience, okay, if something similar challenges you in your life, maybe you should be more careful than these characters. And for Joanna, she's lucky in a way because she doesn't end up in such a horrible situation as many of the other characters.
It's certainly true that many of the characters don't end up very well. It's quite brutal. That was one of the things that I wanted to ask about, though, was whether this production was based more on the 1970s original or on the film by Tim Burton starring Johnny Depp.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of, style-wise, it kind of evokes a Tim Burton kind of feeling. in terms of the styling, the makeup, which is different than how the original production was. It's set in a graveyard. It's not exactly zombies, but it's basically the kind of framing of the musical is that these are Sweeney's victims that have come back to life on this night to tell the story before they can be released. The musical starts and ends with kind of a bookend of the ensemble, of the whole company really saying, hey, listen to this story. We're going to tell you something about these people that did stuff and they made choices and the choices were bad. And they're, you know, the last line, the moral of the story is to seek revenge may lead to hell, but everyone does it, but not as well as these people. So it's kind of these ghosts that are coming back to say, watch out because you're on this path too. You think you're watching a story about these guys that are doing bad stuff, but you're just as bad. In that sense, it's kind of reminiscent of the Tim Burton style, but in terms of the differences between the film and the show, it's much more like in terms of set and that kind of thing. It's much more reminiscent of the original Broadway production.
We should set the story a little bit in the period in which it actually has roots, which is Victorian London. Do you think that to a degree Sweeney Todd has been overshadowed by other great fictional or non-fictional characters from that period, your Sherlock Holmes, Fagin, Jack the Ripper?
That's a good question.
I ask because I simply wasn't as familiar with him, but there were stories written with the character,
yeah,
many mutations.
I think that the story is not as well known. Why it's not as well known, you know, when you look at Sherlock Holmes or you look at some of the other characters, Fagin is a different one, but Dickens had a way of serializing his stories, and as did Conan Doyle. You know, those were stories that people really were, you know, it was really put out there, and it was almost like the first episodic television were those stories. And so the Sweeney Todd stories, I don't think, were promoted in the same way. It's more like it's got a really distinct beginning, middle, and end. So it doesn't have the kind of long life of, you know, the episodic kind of nature of a Sherlock Holmes.
There are elements, though, that anybody will recognize from 19th century London, which is the child labor elements, the kind of horrendous meat pie mystery made from human beings, basically, and that kind of doom and gloom overhanging the city. Is this aspect recreated in your play as well, given that it takes place in the graveyard?
Yeah, it's part of the fabric of the piece. You know, the meat pie aspect. I mean, that's the central thing. That's the central hook of the story.
It's also quite a violent story, given that the barber cuts the throats of his customers. How have you handled that aspect?
Lots of stage blood. Lighting. you do it. I mean, that's part of the fun of doing the show is that, you know, especially in there's a song in Act Two, which is not surprisingly because there's about six songs called this, but it's called Joanna, where it's a quartet. And basically Sweeney's singing blissfully about his love for his daughter and how he's thinking about her and how he's remembering her. And it's kind of this like, I'm with you, you know, this kind of wonderful feeling. And at the same time, he's slitting people's throats. And I think the juxtaposition of the beautiful music, the beautiful haunting music, and the gruesomeness of the story and the gruesomeness of the action, the dissonance between those is something that really gets people on purpose.
The aspect of the subtitles also has worked out very well. I think that there's been a very positive response to that. It opens up the audience much, much more. Mm-hmm. Really, there's no going back, is there?
There isn't. I mean, we knew that doing a project like this, especially on what English language theater in Prague can be. And there has been a lot of English language theater here in Prague. I mean, there's the Prague Shakespeare Festival, there's Blood, Love, and Rhetoric, there's various companies that are doing English language theater. But the scale, you know, we're all striving. We're all striving to increase audience. We're all striving to do it. And, you know, you look at places like Vienna or Berlin or Frankfurt, and they have established professional English language theaters and people come. And I think that with the subtitles and with the musicals, because it's different coming to see something in English if it's Shakespeare. Then you really have to know what you're listening to. But with musicals, if you don't understand, and if we didn't have subtitles, you'd still be able to enjoy the music. You know, but we do have it. And what we're doing is we're trying to lower the bar on people who aren't quite sure of their English and say, hey, look, you don't have to be afraid that you're not going to understand. Come to the theater, you'll enjoy it. You'll be able to read the subtitles. We have a synopsis printed out in Czech that we give to people who come to the theater that still are unsure. And we really want to share this work with the Czech Republic. You know, that's what we're here for.
Well, I want to wish you the best of luck with all upcoming performances and hopefully reprising that as well, because once you've put together such a big production, it really deserves to keep on going. So thanks so much for coming in today, Brian Kasp and Veronika Belova. Thank you.
Thanks, Jan.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Arts. And in case you're interested, there is also an evening performance this Friday and Saturday in Prague. You can find more information on our website. And now, in the final part of today's programme, a Czech lesson from Pavla Harakova's popular ABC series, which Radio Prague is currently rebroadcasting.
Hello and welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's own Czech language series, which explores Czech numbers and numerals and their use in idioms. Today I'm here with
Jon Pukrávek,
and we'll be looking at the number three.
Tři.
As you can hear, the common Indo-European origin of the English and Czech here is quite obvious. The form of the word stays the same in all three genders, but it of course changes according to cases. But luckily, declension is not on our agenda in this series. The word for the number three,
trojka,
is also quite a bad mark in school. It can also mean room number three in a hotel, a number three tram, or even a canine tooth. In the plural,
trojky,
the word means C-cup breasts. It is an old-fashioned system which has now been replaced by a European numbering system. It is not to be confused with a similar word,
trojice,
a group of three, a trio, or a trinity. The Holy Trinity is
svatá trojice.
The adjective
trojitý
means triple, as in a triple axel.
Trojitý axel.
A jump in figure skating. Triplets are
trojčata.
One triplet being
trojče.
The ordinal number, third, is
třetí,
as in
třetí lekce.
Lesson number three. One third is
třetina.
A third grader is
třeťák.
And the saying
do třetice všeho dobrého
means third time lucky. And finally, here's a tongue twister for you. In translation, it means 333 silver sprinklers were spraying over 333 silver roofs.
333 stříbrných stříkaček stříkalo přes 333 stříbrných střech.
Happy practicing. Until next time,
nashledanou.
Goodbye.
I'm afraid that is all we have for you today. You'll find us at radio.cz. This is Thomas McEngrow saying thanks for listening and take care.